Well, we're reading from John chapter 3, verses 1 to 16. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they're old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life."
Good evening. And good evening to everyone that's tuned in from around the world as well. Thank you to our two wonderful ladies who are also communicating the message tonight. So there's three of us that are preaching. People often ask me, "Jay John, what do you do?" And it's always very difficult to know what to say to people. Because if I say to them that I'm a reverend, which I am, that conjures up images in people's minds as to what I might be. If I tell them that I'm a canon in the Church of England, which I am, well, what on earth does that mean? If I tell them I'm an evangelist, which I am, that conjures up other images in people's minds. So I like to be a little bit creative in telling people what I do. I sat next to this lady on an aeroplane at Heathrow Airport, and I said, "Hello." And she said, "Oh, hello." I said, "Where are you going?" She says, "I'm going to Singapore." Then she said to me, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to Australia." I said, "What do you do?" So she told me. And then she said, "What do you do?" And I said, "Well, I work for a global enterprise." She said, "Do you?" I said, "Yes, I do." I said, "We've got outlets in nearly every country of the world." She says, "Have you?" I said, "Yes, we have." I said, "We've got hospitals, hospices, hostels. I said, we've got orphanages, we have feeding programs, we do justice work, we do reconciliation work." I said, "Basically, we look after people from birth to death, and we deal in the area of behavioral alteration." The woman went, "Wow." Her wow was so loud that people all turned and looked at us. She goes, "What is it called?" I said, "It's called the church. Have you heard of it?" If we are Christians, we are part of the church. If we are part of the church, we are part of a global enterprise. Isn't that incredible? Now, as I began to speak with this woman on the way to Singapore, It became very apparent within a few minutes that her understanding of Christianity was a misunderstanding. And I think that is true for so many people today, that their understanding of Christianity is a misunderstanding. And that's why it's very important for us to know what is it that we believe and why do we believe it. And that's why a week like this at Keswick is so important in helping us understand what we believe, why we believe it. I am grateful for the gospel. The word gospel means good news. I am grateful for the good news. And I'm going to explain the good news to you now. If you already know it, I hope it will reinforce what you already believe and know. If you're not sure what a Christian is, I hope that as I explain it, your mind will be illuminated, your heart will be warmed. Maybe you used to be a follower of Jesus, but you got yourself distracted, and you're here, either here now, or in a venue, or you're tuned in, and you're listening. And maybe as you listen, you will rediscover the wonder of God's grace. Well, John read to us from John chapter 3, an incredible story there. And I want to focus on one verse, John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's an invitation. God is issuing us with an invitation. Now, if you're anything like me, I'm sure you appreciate invitations. It's nice, isn't it? When James invited me to come and be part of Keswick, I was deeply touched, deeply touched. My wife's grandmother will be rejoicing in heaven. She was a missionary, a great Keswick person. In fact, generations of my wife's family, Tom Reese, Dick Reese, all of those, they all were big on Keswick. So they're all very happy that I'm here tonight. By the way, they're all in heaven, but you know. But I was delighted that James asked me to come. When you get an invitation to a very special occasion, like a wedding, or something like a wedding, you get the invitation, bottom of the card, you find the letters RSVP. What do they stand for? There was this professor from overseas with his wife in England, and for a semester, while they were here, they received a wedding invitation. Bottom of the card, RSVP. Now, they didn't have that code back in their country. So the professor was trying to crack the code. And then he says to his wife, yes. His wife says, what? He said, RSVP, remember some wedding present. Now, the professor, he thought it was a demand, but actually it was an offer. Now, you and I, we know what those letters stand for. French, répondez, s'il vous plaît, which basically means, are you going to come? And people put a date. So if you don't reply by the date, you can't go. You and I are being offered God's invitation tonight. RSVP, Sunday, the 31st of July, 2022. Will we be offered it tomorrow? Don't know. You're going, what do you mean you don't know? Well, I actually don't know. Why don't you know, J. John? Look, none of us can guarantee that we're going to be alive tomorrow. That's why it's very important to reply to the invitation while you're still alive. Now, when you get an invitation, there are three things you want to know. One, who is it from? Two, who is it to? Three, what is it about? Let's answer those three questions. One, who's it from? Let's go back to the verse. For God. It starts with God. G-O-D. Now, of course, what does God mean? What does that term mean? When the first Russian astronaut returned from space, first interview, do you know what the first question was? First question, did you see God? He said, no, I did not. And the Soviet Union at that time heralded this as proof that God did not exist. When the first American astronaut returned from space, first interview, fourth question, did you see God? He said, I would have seen God had I stepped out of my spacesuit. Now, can you see how the Russian and the American had two different understandings of the word God? You know, today, many people are asking the wrong questions. If you ask the wrong question, you can never get the right answer. So the right question to ask is, has God spoken? Has he spoken? We had a beautiful exposition last night. It was so wonderful, so inspiring. Yes, God has spoken. God has revealed himself. God has revealed himself through creation. God has revealed himself through history. But God's greatest revelation of himself for all people, for all times, for all cultures, was in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. The invisible God became visible in Christ. The intangible God became tangible in Christ. The unknowable God became knowable in Christ. Who's the invitation from? Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Who's it to? For God so loved the world, every single one of us. We are all being invited. We are all being given the invitation. Doesn't matter who we are, we're all being given it. Okay, what is it about? Well, you know, I read through the Bible once a year, every year, okay? So I've read it a few times. There's 800,000 words in it. Okay, what's it about? Do you know, actually, the Bible's about three things. Three things. One, forgiveness from the past. Two, new life here today. Three, a hope for the future. That's what it's about. Everything else in the Bible is commentary and application on those three things. One, forgiveness from the past. Do you agree with the following statement? There are problems in the world today. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah, we all agree. Now, there are many governments in the world, many social agencies are endeavoring to alleviate the symptoms. If you try and alleviate the symptoms, you will always have the symptoms unless you deal with the root cause. So the question is, what is the root cause of everything that is wrong in the world today? What's the root cause? A mother said to her husband, "Darling, look after Annie for me, their little daughter. I need to get on." The father said, "Of course." He thought, what could he do to occupy his daughter? He's flicking through a magazine. He sees a map of the world. He says, "Annie, watch what I'm going to do." He cut the map of the world into small squares and he muddled the squares on the floor. He said, "Annie, I want you to put the squares back together again, like a puzzle, to make the map of the world. When you've done that, come and find me." So the father thought that'll keep her busy. A couple of minutes later, the little girl says, "Daddy, I've done it." He thought she couldn't have done it. Went to have a look. All the squares were put in exactly the right place. He said, "Annie, how did you know where to put the squares?" "Ah," she said, "when you were cutting the map out, I looked on the other side. And I saw a picture of a man and a woman. And I thought, if I could put the man and the woman back together again, I could put the world back together again." As someone once said, the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. Now, the Bible word for that heart problem is sin. That's the word for it. But sometimes when we use the word sin, people don't understand it. But what it means is we all have a condition in our hearts, and it's out of our hearts that come the seeds that affect our lives, our relationships, our families, our communities, our countries, and our continents. Just imagine you passed out of this life now. This is just an analogy. You woke up in a gigantic theater, sitting there on your own. In front of you is a huge screen. All of a sudden, the doors open, an angel flies in, comes up to you and says, "Welcome to the theater of judgment. Relax. Watch the screen." There on the screen, you see your life. Everything you ever did here on earth, everything you ever said here on earth, and everything you ever thought. You see it on the screen. At the end of the film, as you're recovering, the angel comes back and says, "Relax, there's going to be a second showing. All the people who were featured in the film of your life are all waiting outside. We're just going to let them in to view your life a second time." How would you feel if your life were judged on that basis? According to the Bible, that is how God judges us, in an instant. I don't know about you. Me? Oh, I would not want a private viewing, let alone a public viewing of my life. I don't need convincing that I thought, said, done things that I shouldn't have. You see, and a lot of people think everything on that screen doesn't matter. It does matter. Because everything on that screen disconnects us from God. And it works a bit like an overdraft in a bank account. If you have an overdraft and I have an overdraft, you can't help me, I can't help you. The only one who can help us is someone in credit. Only Jesus was in credit. My wife and I, we've got three sons. Well, we're grandparents as well. We've got grandchildren. But when our firstborn, he was about four, he and I went to get a Mother's Day present for his mother, Killy. And he and I went into this store. As we walked in, there was a huge sign. And the sign read, "Do not touch. All breakages must be purchased." Why did I not just walk out? I mean, seriously. You know, sometimes common sense is not always common, is it? I would just walk out. I know I've got a four-year-old, but not only do I know about my four-year-old, I know what I'm like as well. I'm a bit clumsy. Anyway, we go in there, and it's funny. Because it said, "Do not touch," there's this kind of like pull. There's a pull to try and make you touch, even if it's with your elbow, just to prove the point that you could if you wanted to. But my little four-year-old, he went beyond the elbow touch. And I kind of saw it out of the corner of my eye as he knocked this thing over. And I'm like, "No." And it's like slow motion as it fell to the ground. Psh! Smashed. The manager, I don't know where they came from. They stood within seconds. They didn't say anything. They just pointed to the sign. "Do not touch. All breakages must be purchased." I said, "I didn't do it." He did it. He did it. And I thought, why don't I just walk out? I'll walk out. He can pay the bill. Well, that's fair. He broke it. he pays the damages. Now, there was no way that 4-year-old Michael could pay for the damages. Only his daddy could pay for the damages. There is no way you and I can pay for the damages. Only our Heavenly Father, through his Son, can pay for the damages. And Jesus died on the cross because by dying on a cross, it was as if he was cashing a check signed with his own blood to say, here's the check to clear your overdraft. You and I can be forgiven. Whether you're here at Keswick, whether you're tuned in around the world, you can be forgiven from the past, liberated, set free. When I became a Christian, I was an agnostic, a bit like John, who Stevens, when he was at Cambridge. I was an agnostic, but I met a Christian, I heard the gospel, and I received it. And my mother said to me, "You're brainwashed." And I said, "Mother, my brain has been washed. If you only knew, Mother, what was in my brain, you'd be pleased it got washed." And that's so true. Forgiveness from the past. Number two. Well, forgiveness from the past is number one. What's number one? Oh, give me a bit more encouragement. Number one? Number two, new life here today. Number two?
New life here today.
That's right. The word Christian, has got the word Christ in it. If you remove the word Christ from the word Christian, you're left with I-A-N. Ian isn't going to help you. Now, I'm not saying Ian isn't a nice man. I didn't say that. I'm sure he's a nice man. You know, if you had a flat tire, he might help you. But he's not going to change your destiny. Too many people today like to use the tag Christian, but they have absolutely no connection with Christ. To be a Christian means you're connected with Christ. You're rooted in Christ. And, I mean, it's like on every page of the New Testament, rooted in Christ, connected to Christ. You've got to be. Now, think of your life for a moment. Work with me with this analogy. Think of your life like a car, okay? The car of your life. To be a Christian means to have Christ in your car. Now, if you don't have Christ in your car, in the car of your life, I hope in a few minutes, 15 minutes, you'll say, "I'd like that. I'd like that." Now, for the majority of us here and those tuned in, Christ is in the car. Great. Where is he? In the car. Do you drive your car to church, unlock the boot, get Jesus out for a religious happy hour? At the end of the service, get back in there. You know, there are some people you would never know the rest of the week that they're actually Christians. Nobody at work would know that they're Christians. Sometimes they don't live a Christ-like life in their home. But 1 hour at church on Sunday, we say all the right things. And you're thinking, "No, J. John, he's not in the boot. What, on the back seat, a bit of a passenger?" "No, J. John, he's in the front." "What do you mean, the front passenger seat? Bit of a companion?" No. You're one step ahead of me, aren't you? You're now thinking, "We know where you're going with this analogy, J. John." You don't. Now you're thinking, I'm now going to say, "Is he in the driving seat?" I am. Is he in the driving seat of the car of your life? Everyone who thought, "Yes, he is," I have one more question for you. Are you a backseat driver? The car gets to a roundabout. Jesus turns left. "Where are you going?" "I'm going down the road of generosity." "I don't want to be generous." You know, we think we're generous. We squeeze the pound so tightly, we make the Queen cry. The car gets to an intersection. Jesus turns right. Where are you going? I'm going down the road of forgiveness. I don't want to forgive her. And I know what that's like. My mother is a travel agent for guilt trips. But Jesus says, don't worry about it. Forgive her. You know, sometimes you don't want to do what Jesus is telling you to do. Okay, how do we know? How do we know Jesus is first? Now, that's a good question. Well, I'll help you. Take the word first, F-I-R-S-T. Ask five questions. F, is he first in my finances? I, is he first in my interests? R, is he first in my relationships? S, is he first in my schedule? T, is he first in my troubles? If you can say he's first in my finances, interests, relationships, schedule, troubles, that's a pretty good sign. He's first. He's in the driving seat. And when he's in the driving seat, by his Spirit, he produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Now, if you can't say yes to those five questions, and you don't have the abundance of the fruit of the Spirit, it probably is, it's a bit of an indicator. It's like you've got a little red light flashing in your dashboard to tell you something needs fixing. And maybe you don't need to invite Jesus into your car because you've already got him, but you need to reposition Jesus. Maybe he is in the boot. Maybe he is a passenger. Maybe he's in the front seat. A bit more visible, but he's not first. Choose to put him first. As I did some reading and research about the history of Keswick, you know, I loved the ethos of the founding fathers of Keswick, the higher life. I love that term. I always want to reclaim it, the higher life. Choose the higher life. Choose to put him first. Don't be happy with him as a passenger. Put him first. Forgiveness from the past, new life here today. Thirdly, a hope for the future. Back to our verse. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, so whoever believes in him, and of course that word believe and bisti, put your faith in, put your trust in, put your obedience in, will not perish, but have everlasting life. Forgive me if you think I'm about to name drop, but I was studying this verse last week in preparation for tonight, and I thought, oh look, I'll ring up two of my friends and discuss it with them, because I really want to be clear on this. So I rang up my friend Tom Wright, Professor Tom Wright, and I rang up my friend Dr. R.T. Kendall, and I thought I'm going to discuss John 3:16 with them in absolute detail. I want to know, I mean, I'm bilingual in Greek, so I do know what the word is, but I wanted scholars to help me understand it. Anyway, this was the conclusion from Dr. R.T. Kendall, Professor Wright, and little J. John. The word perish is not good. Now, I can give you all the root stuff. I can explain it to you in quite a lot of detail, actually. But the three of us all agreed, don't go there. Don't go there. It's not good for you. You will perish. You see, Jesus, when he was on earth, he divided people into categories. Now, people don't like this, but it's the truth. He said, men and women are traveling along one of two roads. Men and women are serving one of two masters. Men and women are building their lives on one of two foundations. Men and women are going into one of two doors. Men and women are heading towards one of two destinies. There's a graveyard in York, and in this graveyard there's a tombstone. On the tombstone are written these words: "Remember, friend, when passing by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, soon you will be. Prepare for death and follow me." Somebody read the words and disagreed with them, and they scratched an addition, and it's still there today. And they wrote, "To follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went." What is Christianity? Christianity is an invitation. Who's it from? Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Who is it to? You and me. What is it about? Forgiveness from the past, new life here today, and a hope for the future. RSVP. Respondez, s'il vous plaît. What have you done with your invitation? Now, if you have already received the invitation and Jesus is in the driving seat, you become the invitation to other people. And in my seminars that I'll be doing this week, that's what I'm going to be looking at, trying to help anyone that would like to be able to communicate this to others, family, friends, neighbors, and colleagues. So if that would be a help to you, then to be honest, every seminar's great. When I looked at them, I thought, goodness, I wouldn't mind going to them all. But I'm leading one, so I can't go to some of them. So the thing is, what's most pressing for you? What's more, at this moment in time in your journey of faith, and whether it's to get to grips with scriptures or the Old Testament or what John was telling us earlier on, it doesn't matter. The point is this: go to something. But if some of you need to know how to communicate your faith, then come to my one. Now, if you know that you've received Jesus, but you've positioned him in the wrong place, maybe not intentionally, but if you're honest with yourself, he's not in the driving seat. Now, if that is true of you, in just a couple of minutes, I'm going to ask you to do something. If you want to reposition Jesus and put him in the driving seat, I'm going to ask you to stand up. I'm not asking you to stand up to embarrass you. I'm asking you to stand up to say, I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to surrender with the whole of my body. If you have never accepted the invitation, or you don't know whether you have, you're not sure, why don't you accept the invitation tonight? And I'm going to ask you to stand up. If you're here in one of the Keswick venues, stand up in the venue. If you're tuned in around the world, well, if you're in your kitchen, if you're standing up, sit down. I don't know. Do something else. If you're standing up, kneel down. I don't know. If you're sitting down, stand up. Just do something to say, yes, either I want to receive this invitation for the first time, or I want to reaffirm my faith again. Maybe some of you knew it, but you've lost it. But tonight, you're here. And some of you need to reposition Jesus. When you've all stood up, however many of you need to, I will pray a prayer. I will ask you to pray the prayer. When you've prayed the prayer, I will then say a prayer for you. Ollie and the band will then come on, and we're going to sing my favorite hymn, which I've requested, Amazing Grace, which sums up why we're so grateful for the gospel. And for those of you that stood up, particularly either for the first time or as to reaffirm your faith, we're going to invite you to come to the prayer area. We're going to give you this little book that I've written called Making the Connection. We'd like to give this to you as a gift, and someone would like to pray for you if you would like that. That's it. Why don't you just take a moment now, close your eyes. Not that you need to close your eyes, but I find sometimes it helps me not to be distracted. Think about what you've heard tonight. Do you need to receive the invitation? Have you shelved it, but you need to pick it up again? Do you already have Jesus, but you need to reposition him? If your response to any of those questions is yes, then can I ask you now, please stand up. Just stand up, wherever you are in the marquee, please stand. Great, thank you. Great, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you. And wherever you are tuned in, again, do something that will indicate that you're responding as well. Okay, does anyone else want to stand? Don't miss this opportunity. Okay, now you stay standing, and we're going to do something now, okay? Everyone else who's seated, can you please stand? Look what just happened. You see, when you first stood up, it felt a bit alone. You felt slightly isolated. And look what's just happened. We're all saying, we're standing with you. We're going to run with you. We're going to support you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to encourage you. You're not alone. And this is the church. I'm going to pray a prayer. I will pray the prayer phrase by phrase. Okay? Now, those of you that stood up, please pray the prayer out loud the second time I pray it. But those of you that all stood up, why don't you reaffirm your faith and join in with us? Here's the prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for your invitation. Together, thank you, Jesus, for your invitation. I come to you just as I am. I come to you just as I am. I know I have done many things wrong. I know I have done many things wrong. And I thank you for dying on the cross for me. And I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you now to cleanse my life. I ask you now to cleanse my life. Set me free from the past. Set me free from the past. I open the door of my life now. I open the door of my life now. Come into the driving seat of my life. Come into the driving seat of my life by your Holy Spirit. By your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your presence, your peace, your power. Fill me with your presence, your peace, your power. Help me from this day on to build my life on you. Help me from this day on to build my life on you. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. A prayer for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, for everyone in the locations here, anyone tuned in the name of Jesus, we announce and pronounce his forgiveness. We pray that you will know his cleansing, his healing, that you will know his presence, his peace. And Lord, we ask that you help protect us as we endeavor to fix our eyes on you, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.